Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. Now here is your host, etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I'm Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Our special guest this evening is Nellie Horton, as well as Pam Cetus. They will join us for our fourth, part four, of our Back to School Etiquette series, and we're very, very excited about that. First of all, we are certainly blessed to have so many listeners of all ages, and we want to take a brief moment to talk about the origin of etiquette, especially for the benefit of the new listeners. Now, etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior, and by joining people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. And, of course, isn't that what we all want? I know that I certainly do. Well, the word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And, of course, just in case you don't quite remember the origin or the backstory, just remember that etiquette is just basically a fancy word for manners. It's a fancy word for manners. Well, once again, our back-to-school etiquette series continues. This is part four. If you did not have an opportunity to join us for parts one through three, all of our shows are archived, and you can feel free to go back and pull up the archive shows and listen to them in its entirety. Well, we're really excited this evening. We have two very special guests with us. We have Pam Cetus. Pam, how are you? Hello, Pam, can you hear me? Hello? Okay, it appears that we are having a little technical difficulty. Let me try again. Pam, can you hear me? Okay, one moment, please. Hello, Nellie, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Well, how are you this evening?
I'm good. Nice to be on your program.
Well, so nice to have you with us. We're certainly looking forward to what you have to say this evening. Of course, this is part four, and what we're going to be talking about is we're going to talk about proper ways to be successful students this school year when it comes to mathematics and, of course, other academics. And I know we have a lot of parents that listen to our show, and we always are giving out such wonderful tips. And, you know, thanks to you and our wonderful guest that we have each week, we certainly do appreciate it. And we are going to see if, Pam. And let me see if we have Pam.
Hello.
On. Pam, can
Hello.
You hear me?
I can hear you,
Hello?
But you can't hear me. Hello.
I can hear you now, Pam. How are you?
Okay, great. Great. I'm glad. I could hear you the whole time, but apparently you couldn't hear me.
Okay. I apologize for having some kind of technical difficulties, but we're going to rebuke that spirit because we have a lot to talk about. And I want you, if you would, if you would just kind of tell the audience a little bit about you, and then I will have Nellie do the same thing.
Okay, sure, certainly. I am a longtime math educator. I have been teaching mathematics for a little over 30 years. I have taught high school mathematics, and I have worked in central office as a math coordinator for several metro area districts, and I'm currently back in the classroom teaching in DeKalb County, teaching ninth graders mathematics. I also have a doctorate in math education.
Okay, wonderful. And Nellie, if you would just kind of let people know a little bit about your background, that'd be great.
Great. I've been teaching for about 8 years, high school math, and all in DeKalb County. And I have a master's in education.
Wonderful. So, and I know, let me go ahead and give out our email. Our email was a part of the e-blast, and we've gotten questions already. But for those of you, etiquetteladiesplural@gmail.com, etiquetteladiesplural@gmail.com. And you can call us if you'd like as well, if you'd like to join the conversation, 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295. And I'm going to go ahead, ladies, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of go to our first caller, okay? Extension 4542, hello? Hello, extension 4542? Okay, they may be just listening. We'll try to go back to them momentarily. Ladies, I don't know if there was anything in particular that you would like to begin with, or shall I just kind of jump in with some of the emails that we've already received?
Emails are
fine. Oh, okay. And
okay,
there was one
so,
point. I'm sorry.
No, go
hello?
Right ahead.
Oh, okay, the Nellie, one point you... that you mentioned Donna, in reference to parents being able to help their kids at home with mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yes. I just wanted to encourage parents, even if they don't feel comfortable with the math, the mathematics that their children are learning, that they would constantly just keep a guard on the child practicing some type of math every day, or at least three times a week. If they can just encourage their child to practice some math, even if he doesn't have any homework, to just practice some of the topics he's currently studying, or even go ahead and read a little bit of the topics that are coming up, read in his textbook or her textbook, a little bit of the topics coming up. And there is also an online activity that I really like to encourage if some parents are having problems even learning the math themselves, or they can encourage their kids to get involved with Khan Academy, and it's free.
Okay.
And that's K-H-A-N.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to spell that for those who may not be too familiar with that. And in fact, we've actually had some emails along the line. Here's one that says, Etiquette Lady, thanks for doing this show about school math. I graduated from school 20 years ago and was pretty good in math, a pretty good math student. My twins are in fifth grade, and one of them does well and the other okay. I'm trying to get the twin who does well to help the other, but the other doesn't want help, but doesn't fully understand the concept. Do you have any suggestions? And this comes from Ben M. from Miami. And if one of you would go ahead and take that. What do you think about that, Pam?
Well, I think one of the thing that's real important for students to understand is that it takes effort to learn. Oftentimes, we approach math as, you know, there's this math gene and there are people who are just math smart, and there are people who aren't. And so, but math is learned just like a sport, just like an instrument. You get better at it and you get smarter at it as you put more time and energy and effort. So one of the things that might be able to work for the other child is to have them explain something to you. Because I think there's probably a little intimidation going on, and they're probably afraid to look dumb or not look so smart in front of the other person. So I have found, my experience has been, nothing makes you feel smarter than to explain what you do know. And every child knows something, and just having the child say, okay, so what did you learn about this? What do you know? And having them explain that to you as the adult begins that process. And just having them articulate and verbalize what they do will be a good start. And then the kinds of questions you ask them and ask them for clarification will actually strengthen their understanding.
That's a great comment. In fact, that will certainly, build their self-confidence as well. Any child
Absolutely.
That can explain, can explain anything to a parent, it helps the child to build self-confidence. Great. Here's what it says. I am a mother of a high school student who is taking STEM classes. She is strong in technology and science, but is struggling in math. How can I help her? By the way, Etiquette Lady, thanks for the information. Informative topic you feature on your show. This comes from Constance Myers in Illinois. And so whoever takes it, if you would kind of explain, some people may not be familiar with STEM, if somebody can just kind of explain what STEM is.
Nellie, you want to take that one?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, great. STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math-related topics or related concepts that students learn in school. Pam, you can add on if you like, because Pam probably has a even more. I wanted to say, I'm sorry, it's the application of those things also in math. So a student can be really good at technology and not know that they're also good at math, but in the STEM type of courses, you apply a lot of the science and the math concepts or skills that you've learned.
Yeah, one of the challenges with the integration that occurs with STEM is oftentimes the way mathematics is taught in school is very abstract, and students find it very difficult to make the connection. So oftentimes they're doing the math and they know how to do the math, but they don't recognize it when they see it in real life context because it looks very, very different than the school mathematics that they've been used to. So that's always an extra challenge. So one of the things that Common Core has tried to do, at least with the new Georgia Standards for Excellence, is they've tried to embed more of the mathematics in real-life contexts to give students more of an opportunity to be able to recognize it and say, oh, okay, yeah, I've done these kind of application problems in math class, so I'll be able to make that connection a little bit easier. If your child has had difficulty being able to recognize the math in real-life context, then, different websites, and Khan Academy was one of them. Robert Kaplinsky has websites where there's a lot of real-life hands-on mathematics problems that they do. So every opportunity that your daughter can to be able to solve real-life problems using mathematics will help her with any STEM initiative.
Wonderful. And now, are Common Core concepts, are they different in different states? Because we have people that listen from around the country. So are they pretty much the same or?
Well, the Common Core standards are the same. It's just that states across the country have tweaked them and have adapted them to their own purposes. So in Georgia, we just adapted our own version of Common Core. So we took the Common Core and we adapted them for Georgia based on the input of teachers. Other states have done the same thing as well. Some states haven't touched Common Core standards at all. They have just left it exactly how it was originally written. But a lot of states have, like Georgia, have tweaked it a little bit for our own state.
Okay. I'm going to try and go back to the phone, see if we can pick up some live callers. Extension 4542, hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What is Etiquette Anyway? How are you?
Hi.
How are you? I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. If you could say hi to our wonderful panel here, Nellie Horton and Pam Seda, that'd be great.
Hello, ladies. Thank you for all your wonderful information.
We're really glad to be here.
And thank you.
I have a question. My daughter started a new school this school year, and though it is some of the same teachings that she was learning, some of the same topics in math and reading from her last school, it just seems completely different to her now. And I was wondering, do you have any kind of ideas or suggestions for us to be able to help her to grasp the concept that it's the same, but it's just worded different? She has a hard time with, like, say we're looking for the sum or we're looking for the difference. It's like now it's a whole new concept to her. Are there any ways that I can help her, besides repetition, because repetition doesn't really work with her, or it hasn't thus far, maybe something that'll, I like the real world concept idea. Are there any other kind of ideas to help her, like with time management, especially in finding the sum and difference in time?
What grade is she in?
The fourth.
Fourth grade. One of the things that I have found when it comes to working problems in context or working with word problems, students oftentimes want a formula. They want to be able to say, every time I see this word, I do this, or every time I see this. But unfortunately, in real-life context, especially with our English language, sometimes those cues or clues that we give can lead students astray. So the same word can mean very different things depending on the context, which is why I think it's probably a much better approach is to just to have her, one, use a problem-solving structure.
Okay.
I've used what I call Polya's four steps of problem solving. Understand the problem, devise a plan, carry out the plan, look and check back, with no matter what problem I do. And so the very first step is understanding the problem. And there are all kinds of things that she can do to help her understand the problem, but it just really depends on what that problem is. But I have found for me drawing pictures, drawing a diagram, making a table, something that actually helps me figure out what exactly is that problem talking about. If she can act it out, if she can, use some kinds of objects to help show what actually is going on, the more that she can really understand what that what's actually happening in that problem, then the mathematics will become more obvious to her. But my experience has been most of the time students have difficulty with word problems is because they never really understood what the problem was asking.
That is amazing. Those are amazing ideas. The only things I never would have thought about. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Nellie, you have anything to add?
No. Pam was actually, everything that she said was things that I've used also. And I have nothing to add to that, except I found in my class when the students were having a hard time with word problems, I would have them draw a picture. And 90% of the times, it did help. So I agree totally with what Pam said.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling. And in case you're just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're in the midst of our back-to-school etiquette part four. We're talking about proper ways that students can be successful this school year, especially when it comes to mathematics. I have a message here. It says, Etiquette Lady, thanks for the work that you do in making the world a polite place. A question for your guest is, how do I get my daughter excited about math? She is in the third grade and doesn't like it because it's hard for her. And this comes from Ms. J in Canton, Georgia.
I'll let you take a stab at that one first, Nellie.
Well, thank you, Pam. I'm actually learning a lot from you, too. thank you. One thing I do find but making math fun. However, I like even more helping children to persist or to persevere. Like even when they try it and it's not right the first time, to try even something simpler or something similar, and until they can build up some confidence in what they're doing. A lot of times, I think, especially in America with math, we, like, probably not just with the millennials, but even with older adult people, we're always looking for quick and fast and instant solutions. And sometimes we don't try, you know, sometimes fail and get up and try again and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. That was just one thing I really hope that parents can help their kids to do is to persevere. Another thing I found that's probably a lot more accessible in this day and age is math games, like the site Cool Math Games. If she has access to the internet or access to a tablet, that she can build up some skills by playing some math, online math games.
And I was just thinking the same exact thing. I couldn't have answered it any better. I was thinking the same exact thing, that one is playing math games on a regular basis where they can practice the skills that they need in a fun way. And then secondly, yes, is the perseverance. I would kind of have a question, though, because oftentimes many things are hard, but kids don't quit at it. For example, playing sports or playing an instrument is difficult and is hard, but kids don't dislike it automatically. Right. I would think that sometimes students aren't willing to persist in math because they feel dumb when they don't automatically know it. Mm. And that oftentimes is a greater challenge, is that there's this perception that if I have to work at it, if I have to struggle at it, then I must not be smart. And that is just not true at all, but that's something that is an idea and a thought that is very prevalent in our schools. So I think just to help her see ways that she's been successful at other things, I used to tell my students all the time, I know at some point in time, you may not remember this, but tying your shoe used to be very difficult for you. And there was a time that you didn't think you could ever do it. And eventually you learn, and now you can do it without thinking about it.
Okay.
And mathematics is you know, simply that way. It's but one thing that I did with my children when they were younger, and your daughter is you know, still young that you could do this, is you know, play different kinds of games. Even at home, I used to pull out a deck of cards, and you know, turn cards over, and we play I Declare War by adding the numbers or subtracting the numbers. Or I would pull out my base 10 blocks, and we would play games with the different, you know, tens and ones and hundreds and make different groups and things like that just at home. And as far as family games, I would just make them math games. So my kids understood that math is something that's a natural, normal part of the world. Wherever we were, when we went to the grocery store, I would make them figure out, okay, it says 2 for $3. How much is that?
Right.
Or if you're weighing fruit at the, you know, on the scale, and I say, okay, how much is that? 1 1/4 pound, or even reading the odometer in the car. Just everywhere they went, they would see math is here, and it's normal and it's natural, and it's not something you need to be fearful of.
Wow.
And that's especially important for girls, because girls oftentimes get that message that math is not for them. Starting in middle school, they start really, you know, developing more of those messages. So if you can encourage her as much as you can while she's young and give her those positive messages, that will be very encouraging for her.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that information. Great information, ladies. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about ways to be successful when it comes to math this school year. And if you did join late, feel free to go back and listen to the full episode as our shows are all archived. Here's one that says, etiquette lady and guest, I had a difficult time with math when I was in school, and my son is having a hard time now. How do I motivate him when I wasn't motivated? This comes from Karen James in Atlanta. And I think you guys kind of covered that, some motivational factors. And so, Karen, I hope you have been listening to this show, because we're definitely talking about motivating the children, which is wonderful. And then I like the math games, too. That's, you know, kids like to play games, so that's really good. I'm going to go ahead and go. I want to make sure I can get to all of these before we run out of time. Wow, we're about the four-minute mark. Etiquette lady and guest, thank you for doing this show to talk about the proper ways to learn math. My daughter is in junior high school and doesn't quite understand the math project she has to do. I've been out of school for some time now, and when I try to help her, I don't really understand it. It's very different from when I was her age. How can a parent help when they don't know? Can you recommend any sources? And this comes from Joan B. in Michigan. And I know you ladies kind of talked about that a little bit as well.
That is a real important question, because I think we oftentimes, teachers and parents and students, have different perceptions of what it means to help.
Yes.
And when I have a student ask me for help as their teacher, what they think is help is tell me how to do it. When I think of help, my perception is, let me ask you the right questions so you can figure out how to do it. And those are very two different perceptions. And I think as a parent, that if you know how to ask the right questions to help them figure out how to do it, the learning will last so much longer and it will be much deeper. The child may not think that's help at first, but in the long run, you will be helping that child so much more by asking the right kinds of questions rather than telling them how to do it.
That's really, really good. Great information. Great information. Well, wow, ladies, I cannot believe that we are almost out of time. If you are listening live, we may lose you. We're going to go ahead and conclude the show, but we may lose you in a couple minutes. But thank you so much for your messages and for calling in. We certainly do appreciate it, and we certainly try to keep you informed on the show. And we've had great guests here, Ms. Nellie Horton and Pam Sita. Thank you all so much for the wonderful information that you shared this evening. And I know I apologize that we have an opportunity to get to all the questions. We may see if one or both of them may be available to do a follow-up. I knew this would be a pretty big show for the simple fact math is just, you know, one of those classes that a lot of times it can be challenging. And so with learning great tips, you know, how to actually to do the concepts and to teach the concepts is great. But, of course, every week we always ask you to initiate.
Now it's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
All right, this week's act of kindness is this: Dear Etiquette Lady, I have been sick for 2 weeks, and the teenagers across the street have been coming to help my children with their homework every day. I want to thank them personally for their kind deeds. And this comes from Marcy from Dunwoody, and the teens are Kyra and Daniel Moore. So we certainly say kudos to Kyra and Daniel Moore. Thank you so much. And, of course, you know, as I say each week, if you want to share an act of kindness that you've received or that you've actually done for someone, feel free to do that. Thanks again for supporting our show and listening. Everyone who called and emailed, those joining us for the first time, and, of course, our loyal listeners who tune in each week, we're so glad that you're a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or if you have an etiquette topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know. And please be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen. After all, Our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. And we know we can only do this one person at a time. And if you would, please remember the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. And that comes from Proverbs 3:3. Be sure again to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk again next week. Good night. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.